2 Corinthians chapter 8. Number one Bible that I use now these days really isn't my phone, because it has all of the commentaries and the study works and everything. You can have enough on my phone that I can do actually fairly extensive study with it. And the Bible that I have there has headings for the chapters. Now, maybe yours does as well. Mine, my physical one here, my book one, does not have the headings. But it has to do with the idea of giving there in chapter 8 that we talked about last week. I'm glad to see that, as far as I can tell, nobody stayed away because of a message about giving. But I hope you realize that it's not what motivates us. We are not certainly all about the money. And but the chapter in the heading in chapter 8 was completing the collection for the saints. Notice the idea for the saints there. We are even told that the rich in this world were supposed to charge them to do something. What they are supposed to do, they're not supposed to depend on their riches, but they're to be able to use them to be able to help other people. And the giving that was done here in 2 Corinthians 8 was to help other people. Involved in that was Titus, and we're going to save that as I said, until we get to the book of Titus, and when we will talk more about him and deal with some of these. But it's titled from verse 16 on to the end of that chapter, and I'm not going to deal with that very much today, but it says the mission of Titus. So Titus has the same care, it says, that for them that Paul does. And he's going to be helping with the administrating of the gift. It was among the other things that he's going to do. He's going to help with the administrating or the preparation of it. When you get to chapter 9, the title that my phone has put on it for that is Preparing the Gift. Preparing the Gift. I thought maybe that would be a good thing that we could do as we prepare for our gift for next week, our gift as a church. That is going to be, Lord willing, to be able to help somebody else. There is a great need there in the Central African Republic. I know there is all over the world. But I think I had this set up so I can go right to it, but let me just... it's baptistmidmissions.org, and it's talking about total chaos and tragedy. And so as we prepare for this for next week, how we can help, let me just read this as I start. It's a little bit lengthy, but I wanted to share it with you. From Baptist Admissions, you can read this on their website, but it says, total chaos best describes the humanitarian crises in Central African Republic. Now, some of these funds then will be used to help people that have physical need. That word is found in there. It's in the term want that we have, and I think it's in chapter 9. But the term want there doesn't mean just you want something the same way that I want a new drone. I do want a new drone, but most people, including my wife, would say that that's not necessary. It is not a need. I'll talk to you about that if you think that it can't possibly be a need. It's a need. But anyway, it's a want, probably. But the word want there that we have in this particular text is talking about something where we are in want. It means there's something, that there's a need there. You know that there's been violence in Central African Republic for years. But it says, the country ranks in the top 10 nations for civil unrest, and no end appears in sight. Since 2012, a cycle of revenge between Muslim and non-Muslim forces has stripped the population of security and has taken people's homes, provisions, and lives. Only the capital city of Bangui has relative peace due to the presence of UN troops and foreign governmental intervention. One of the first missionaries that I ever heard speak was from the Central African Republic, and I remember Bangui at points in time in my life since then. It says, raiding groups across the country regularly enter into communities to rape women, brutally kill people, and burn homes and steal livestock. The lawlessness is so severe that humanitarian workers have pulled out of all except Bangui. Nearly all schools are closed. Many people's gardens have been burned, causing food crises. Almost no internet is available, surprise, and phone connection very limited. In the past few months, a former Baptist Mid-Mission station was destroyed in Kembe in South Central CAR. 300 miles northeast of Bangui, a Baptist Mid-Mission-founded hospital was looted, and some of the staff fled into the woods for safety. In the past, fighting groups have spared the hospital because of its benefit to Muslims and non-Muslims. However, escalating anger and revenge cycles have crushed even that sense of mercy and common sense. For Baptist Mid-Mission's missionaries still in the country, and there are some, none that we are supporting, but some in the country, travel is limited. Emotions also get depleted by the continual accounts of torture and killings. For the Africans themselves, their entire way of life has been changed. Insecurity and instability are part of daily life. When rumors of raids come, people flee their homes to live in the jungle without food or shelter to wait to see what will happen. The African culture of interdependence has been a saving grace for survival. When one person acquires a little food, they divide it with those in need. That's part of the theme of what we were looking at in chapter 8 here, that there would be equality is the idea of that. They share housing also, with many living in one hut. With hundreds of thousands of people displaced and hungry, relief efforts can seem like a drop in the ocean. We take the stance. Now, I had never heard this from any place, but looks like this is their slogan. What you wish you could do for many, do for one. And that's been their approach to this, knowing that they can't help everybody. Because Africans are so interdependent, help offered to one person gets shared with an entire family or with neighbors. In the U.S., $5 can buy a fast food value meal, maybe. In the CAR, a gift of $5 can feed a family for a week. So I just want to mention that. You can read more about that as you wish. But bmm.org, and you'll be able to find that article there. And so it's a little bit different than what we have typically done. Usually it's to a person that we know, some way of helping with that. But this is to a mission agency that we know and deal with very much. And I just think it's a worthy, good thing. And it's all up to you how you handle it anyway, because next week's offering, if you want it to go to something else, you can just save it for a week. And we recognize that our text that we have been using even talks about as every man has purposed in his heart. That's a very important part of New Testament giving, how you have purposed in your heart. What triggered me reading that during the message today was the fact that they are dealing with the doing of it. How are we going to about the logistics of how they're going to distribute these gifts? You find in the text that sometimes it had gone from one church to another, who now is at a time where they had more, is then helping out the church that had originally helped them, which is a good way of doing it. As he is writing in chapter 8, we gave the principles of that, but I want to go on to chapter 9, recognizing that we're skipping the part about Titus and his the way that he functioned in all of that they had. All right, so a reminder about Titus, but we will skip that and deal with it when we get to the book of Titus, which we're doing after 2 Corinthians. Where we left the principles is you give yourself first, you have a willing mind, you perform the doing. It's based on what you have, not what you don't have, and it produces equality. The word that I want to emphasize today from chapter 8 and chapter 9, and our message will be from chapter 9 for the most part of that, is the word not. It struck me as I was reading this the number of times that the word not was found in there. On Wednesday nights, we are compiling lists that are based on the alphabet, starting with A, B, C, D, E, F, and we are now on G, and I think we've almost completed what we're doing with G. I'm going to print out would be our final copies, recognizing that we will have missed hundreds of them, I'm sure, in Scripture. But just as we make that effort, we have about a half a page of them. And early on when we started doing this, we decided to allow things that we were not supposed to be in Christ. So it didn't fall under N, but it fell under those things that you would say not. And somebody texted me this week, knowing that I was going to wrap up the G portion of that. And they had one that they had here on Wednesday night that they were trying to figure out what it was because they'd forgotten. They had forgotten what reference they had. And so they texted me this week, and it was talking about not giving grudgingly, or not, and that's what we have here, at least in this text. It was of that same vein, although it was from Timothy. That triggered then me looking at the words not in chapters 8 and chapters 9. The Bible has a lot of times where the word not is found. We are told by educators these days that we're supposed to keep everything positive, but there is a time when you need to say no, and there's a time when you need to say this is not the way that it should be. A very, very sad week for me this week in one area. It doesn't affect any of us directly, but the fact that it affects part of the churches of God, it affects us very much. And I started reading about one of the largest evangelical denominations in the United States, possibly the largest. One claimed to it was the largest evangelical denomination in the States. I will tell you which one it is if you want to ask me later, because it's on their website, so they are making it public, so the information that I had was correct. At their youth conference that will have 30,000 kids, 30,000 teenagers, one of the speakers is a lady who has a son who has, in the process of becoming a woman, he thinks. And these things, I think, need to be reported, because if you read some of the things about this group, you would think, oh, they're a pretty good group, until you find out who their speakers are that they have. And if you read some of the things about the other speakers, I was appalled at not only the content of what they would say, but that the language that they use. And I'm talking about vulgar language, and it's a part of their own websites as well. Stuff that I just couldn't believe. And I was so discouraged for a part of this week, not affecting my life as far as black discouragement, but discouraged that can have gone this far with one of the largest evangelical denominations. There were the verge of tears about this. It hurts. And this young one, she is actually one of the pastor's wife, and the pastor, they are so proud of their church for being accepting of the fact that this child wants to become a girl. Started when he was age 8. Started at age 8, when the parents started saying that it was okay and we would go this direction. And they are speakers at this conference for 30,000 kids. You need to know about that. But you need to also know that the Bible says there are some things that we are not to do. And that's going to be the emphasis this morning when we come to these particular chapters here. Chapter 8, I went back and did this because this just occurred to me this last week. Verse 5, they did not as we had hoped. Okay? And that was a good not, because they did more than he had hoped. Chapter 8:8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. You have begun, in verse 10, so as you have begun, not only do it, but be forward a year ago. Not only start, but continue. Not according to what he has, but what... according to what he has, and not according to what he has not. That's in verse 12. Verse 13, I mean not that men others should be eased and you would be burdened. That's 13. Now you get to chapter 8, which we had not, or chapter 9, which we had not gone into yet. And there are some things here that are involved in our giving that are things that we are not supposed to do. And so we've had a little bit of a look at that in the chapter before. Let me begin to read chapter 9 here. There. So as touching the ministering of the saints, it is superfluous, it isn't necessary for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast to you of them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has provoked very many. Compliment to the church here at Corinth. Their zeal has provoked other people. Yet I have sent the brethren, and that's Titus, we know from the chapter before, plus one who is unnamed, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, and that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest, perhaps, they of Macedonia come with me, and we find you unprepared. That we, and there's a parenthesis I'll come back to, that we would be ashamed of you in this very thing after we have confidently boasted about you. To say nothing of the fact that you would be ashamed about that. So it's talking about the preparation as he's come, that they will be prepared. And I thought, what a good way to talk about and incorporate it into the offering that we're going to use next week, that we would do it by way of being prepared. This is something that we want to do as honoring to the Lord. It's something for others. It fits the pattern of what we have in these chapters, and it doesn't hurt us then to have a little preparation to know what will be happening next week and what we'll be doing with that. That the whole offering that is received will go toward this cause. So the not here is not really one of the main points, but it's limited to that place in the parentheses, to say nothing of you being embarrassed as well. So the idea there is the preparation. So the first point that we really make with as we get into chapter 9 is the preparation. It's going to happen. Be prepared. But in the next verse, there's one that we need to remind ourselves about when we do anything for the Lord. Verse 5, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had notice already. You've been notice about it. That's the preparation part. That the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. What is one of the possibly the biggest danger that we have when it comes to money? It's if somebody gets helped and somebody else wonders, well, how come I didn't get anything? I've never seen that happen in our church. I just know that our hearts are that way. We still have an old nature. And when it comes to money, covetousness is still an issue that we need to be aware of. And Paul says that in our giving, and when other people are involved with this, and if somebody is going to be thriving at that particular moment, what we ought to be doing is saying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, especially if they were in difficulty before. Praise the Lord. Covetousness will get in the way. That's why Paul adds it here. And what he's doing for us is reminding us that it is not out of covetousness. Back in the early days of the church, in fact, the first weeks of the church, remember the disciples met together with all of the people and they had everything common. Do you remember that? And it was distributed just simply as people needed it. That should be able to work in a church. I'm afraid that if we were to try it with our old natures, which we still have, there would be somebody, we would always find that somebody was wondering, why am I not included in that? I hope that you are not one of those. I don't have anybody in mind, and I wasn't looking again at anybody particular when I said it. I'm looking around at everybody because I don't have anybody in mind, but it needs to be not as of covetousness, the method of doing it, the preparation of it. All right, that's verse 9. But this I say, he who sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I think you've heard that verse enough. I'm not really going to deal with that one. Only to say it doesn't mean that God will make you rich if you give money to the church. Just want you to know that. He might. More likely not. He's not talking about sowing more money and reaping more money. He's talking about spiritual benefit to that as well. All right, verse 7, though, has the second. It's a third one, but really the second one as far as the actual dealing with the money here. Number one is not covetous. But God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all good things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed the abroad and he has given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. All right, that all sounds good. Back up to verse 7, he says, don't give grudgingly. We had that in chapter 8 as well, so we're not going to talk so much about that one. But not grudgingly is one of the points. Not covetously, not grudgingly. God loves a cheerful giver. Now I'm going to just read the rest of the chapter and then we're going to deal with verse 12. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. There is the result of that. What you're sowing and what you get is not necessarily more money, it's the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving unto God for the administration of this service. That's what we're talking about from this particular chapter. Not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. While by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. And then, of course, it ends with something that sums up all of this matter of giving. What a wonderful summary. Those that put the chapters in, Paul wasn't the one, you know, that put the verses in chapters when he wrote, but whoever put the chapters in here picked a good one to end it with. You get a couple of chapters talking about giving, and it talks right at the end, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God knows how to give good things to us. Praise the Lord for that. But in chapter 9, verse 12, is what we were referring to. It not only supplies the want of the saints. Just please remember that that is talking about a need there. When we use the phrase of somebody being in want, we are really using most times when we use that. Maybe you don't use that phrase anymore, but it still is a phrase that could currently be used from time to time. That country is in want. They are lacking some things. And it doesn't have to do with what they would prefer or like. It has to do with what they need. So the administration of this service supplies not only the want or the need of the saints. And this is what I would like our goal to be for next week is our mindset preparation as we prepare for that offering. It is not only to supply the need of these people in the Central African Republic. In fact, that's very much subject to what goes on in the second part. It not only supplies the want of the saints, but it is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto the Lord. And what we can do when we prepare for this for next week, everybody that's involved can be thankful. Baptism and Missions can be thankful that somebody looked at the article and decided that that would be a good project for the church. The people that receive the gift can be thankful. The people that distribute the gift can be thankful. But did you know that the people that give the gift can be thankful as well? And I know what my intent is going to be on this. It's going to be, thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us in Canada in such a way that I will be able to do something to help these people. I'm going to thank the Lord for the fact that I'm able to be able to. Unless something happens between now and then, and the Lord knows all about that, but I'm not expecting anything. I'm expecting to be able to be a cheerful giver. I'm expecting to be a thankful giver, and I'm expecting that everybody else involved in it would be able to remember this part of the verse. So I'd like the not there is this. The administration is not only to supply physical needs. If we do that, we have not accomplished the most important thing. It's going to be very important to those people. It doesn't mean that that's unimportant. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't consider that. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be able to thank the Lord that we'll be able to help some people eat and that it'll be done and distributed by an organization in whom we have confidence. All of those things we ought to be glad about. But I would leave you with this today, the last knot in the chapter. It is not only to supply the want of the saints, but it is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto the Lord. How many thanksgivings can you have by next week? Well, how about if you at least spend some time this week thinking about it and praying about it and just recognizing that it is done as unto the Lord and it is not a church fundraiser. You know that, don't you?